Okay, we're recording. Welcome to episode 3 of the 12 Pound Podcast. I am your co-host, Robert, and I am here with my mom, Bobby. I want to remind everyone this is a podcast about life's changes and how we hope to help you face them. Thanks for being here with us today. We do appreciate it, and we're excited to present episode 3 of the 12 Pound Podcast. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Robert.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Good. Well, somebody else is doing well. We have a winner from last week's contest, our first giveaway that we announced on the 12 Pound Podcast. We had talked about seagulls and whether or not they could see color. And apparently, they can. And we received a very detailed answer from Caroline in Burlington, Vermont, who got back to us almost immediately. She was faster than a Chinese takeout food order. She was here within 5 minutes. And we were very excited to hear from her. She let us know that they do see color. In fact, they see color pretty well.
Yeah, it was a great answer. Thank you, Caroline. You explained it quite well. This has been something that's been on my mind for a long time. And I had the best night's sleep I've had in a long time, knowing that seagulls, for our audience, not only see in color, they see in color better than we do.
They do.
So they know that red and white checked French fry container.
So watch out. Next time you're on the beach, look out above because they will come below. And speaking of seagulls, as we also mentioned last episode, there is the hottest toy in town, who is Sunny the Seagull, who is sold out of, I think, up on the boardwalk almost entirely, with the exception.
Yeah, there's an exception.
And the exception is the balloon dart game. Did I get that right?
Yes.
So the balloon dart game is up on Mariner's Landing, where you pay a few dollars, you get a few darts, and you've got to pop some balloons. And if you pop enough, you get a mini Sunny the Seagull, which is wonderful. Unfortunately, the other Sunny the Seagulls were a little bit behind in terms of delivery, but I understand from the wonderful marketing team at Morey's Piers that they are coming. And when they do, we are going to be up on the boards with a few Sunnies to give away, as well as those boardwalk and water park passes. And speaking of up on the boards, Mom, we were up on the boards for the first time last night. What an adventure.
It was great fun. There were so many people and families and having a great time. It's something that was really delightful to see. I haven't spent a lot of time on the boardwalk recently because I'm old. So let's call it like it is.
You're in your golden years.
I'm in the chute. What can I tell you? So I'm in the chute. But
hopefully that parachute opens.
Hopefully it does open. But we were up there last night, and as Rob was just telling you, we are going to be up on the boardwalk doing on the boards and talking to people that are enjoying themselves, asking them some fun, silly questions, sometimes not so silly questions, and handing out passes. And soon, a seagull, which will be really great. So we had a really good time, and we hope that you're going to come up and check us out up there.
Yeah, it was great. We started out with a roller coaster ride. If you've had a chance to take a look at any of our social media platforms, you might have noticed a couple pictures of Mom and I on the front seat of a roller coaster. Our colleague, Rainey, had taken some great photos, but on that day, the roller coaster wasn't running, so we weren't able to do any action shots. But we did hear from Morey's Piers recently, and they invited us back up onto the boardwalk to ride the roller coaster, but this time it would be operational, and we would get the front seat together, and we would be able to ride around. Now, we thought we were going around once. That was not the case.
That was not the case. I haven't been on the roller coaster in a really, really, really long time. I love the roller coaster. I think I told you that before. So we're in the front. We're going to go on the first thing, and it was just as much fun as I ever remembered. The first hill, the first going down. Robert, we were mouth wide open, like kids screaming, going around. It was too much fun.
We were. I almost caught a seagull in my mouth. I mean, I was really.
I know. A few bugs, for sure.
Definitely some bugs.
Definitely some bugs.
Yeah.
And so we finished. And God, they were so great up there. But I think it was, I don't know, one of the young women said, okay, it was great. We have to go around again. Okay, I'm good for round two. I look over at you. Yeah.
Round two. We had a good time.
We're good. So round two, we do it again. And if anybody has never been on the roller coaster, it's not only incredibly fast, it kind of throws you, you know, not like you're being thrown, but it's pretty intense.
Yeah. And just a quick description of this roller coaster. It's called the Great White Roller Coaster. It's an old, beautiful, and very big wooden roller coaster. It's located at Adventure Pier on Spencer Avenue. So you can't miss it. It's part of the horizon when you're looking at the Wildwood Boardwalk. Yeah. But it's old and it's, well, not that old, but it's wooden and metal. So when you combine that at 85 miles an hour.
Is it as old as me?
I don't know if anything's as old as you.
You're funny. That's funny. Isn't he funny?
But it does run well, like you. So
Right. Thanks for that.
You guys both You guys both have
good
that.
Good save.
But we went around twice, and then we stopped, and we were jarred. I mean, I think, you know, your hip was displaced. My heart was displaced. And they said, okay, great. That was wonderful, but we need to do it again. And we just, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And we just came off the second episode where we were talking about threes. So I was thinking to myself, okay, we're going a third time. This is it.
Right.
Things don't happen in threes that are usually good.
No.
But
flying off into the ocean.
But we did. We went around again, and it was wonderful. We got some great pictures. We're going to post those after this episode so you can take a look at how ridiculous we looked on this ride as we were going around with our mouths wide open. And then from there, we did what we've been talking about for a while. We went up onto the boardwalk. We went to Mariner's Landing Pier, which is on Skellinger Avenue. And we were at the Parent Pavilion, which is in the middle of the pier, which is a great area where you can sit and rest in between your kids riding the rides or you riding the rides. And we were set up there with a couple chairs, a sign saying that there was a recording in session. And then we had to start rounding up some folks to interview, which in itself was a new experience for us. But we had a great time. We really encourage you to come up. We're going to be up there again next Monday night. We'll send an announcement in advance of where we're going to be and what time. We heard some great stories.
Wonderful stories.
And some really funny answers.
Funny answers.
Yeah. And we, you know, we asked people where they were from, and, you know, we got fun as well. We asked people to rate themselves on a scale of 1 to 10.
And as we found out,
a lot of Philly tens.
Phillies are tens.
Everybody from Philadelphia was a 10. If you're from outside of Philadelphia,
maybe a seven.
There were a couple eights in there, but lots of Philly tens. And we really enjoyed that as well. But, we also met somebody, one of our favorites was a guy named Steve. Steve is from Philadelphia. I let him know that I live in the Fairmount area of Philadelphia. And he said, oh, I work in Fairmount sometimes. And I said, oh, what do you do? And he goes, oh, I can't tell you. You're not going to like me. I said, he drove a tow truck here. And he goes, no, it's worse. He goes, I'm a parking attendant. So we heard from him for a while. He was wonderful. And what felt great about talking to Steve is that at the end we were able to write him a ticket. We actually wrote him.
We gave him a ticket.
We gave him two tickets to Maury's Piers, both the amusement rides and the water park. It's an all-in-one pass that you can use on the same day. So that's what we're giving away up there. And Steve was wonderful, as was everybody who was there. And, you know, Maury's Piers, located on the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey, is a classic seaside amusement park, family owned and operated since 1969. If you haven't been to Maury's Piers, really, what are you waiting for? Visit them at Surfside Pier, featuring the Ocean Oasis Water Park and Beach Club at 25th Avenue. Mariner's Landing Pier, featuring Raging Waters Water Park at Skellinger Avenue. That's where we do our on the boards. And Adventure Pier at Spencer Avenue. We'll be up on the boardwalk all summer, as I mentioned, interviewing visitors and giving away free boardwalk and water park passes, as well as some Sonny the Seagulls in the next few weeks. So look for us on Mariner's Landing Pier, and we'll let you know via social media as well. Well, yeah, we look forward to continuing that. You were a natural, Mom.
I think so.
Yeah, you were such a natural that the first family you went up to didn't speak English.
They didn't. That was pretty funny.
But I think
I'm not sure though. I think they were faking it.
Yeah, I think they were too. I think they spoke perfect English. They saw us coming
this? Get rid of this lady.
No thanks. but we did end up getting a few people, and it was great. We got people from all ages, all generations, and people had great memories about Wildwood and the beach. There were a lot of just stories about their experiences up on the boardwalk and in the Wildwoods, where they've been, where they're from. And it was just a lot of fun. So I think you'll enjoy watching those when they're posted on our social media and our YouTube pages as well.
Yeah, and let us know what you think.
Yeah, and you can share your memories of the beach and the Jersey Shore with us. If you go to our website at www.12poundpodcast.com, in the Ask a Question section, there's also a Share Your Story. So we welcome you to share those stories, whether it's a story about change or a challenge that you've gone through or a story about a memory. And that's really what today's episode is about. Today's episode is about memories. And those memories, a lot of times, can be where you've been, where you visit, or where you're from. And one place that we talk about a lot is where we're from, our homes. This episode is called I Come From New Jersey, but we met a lot of people who've came to New Jersey to visit.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people that come in this summer are from Philadelphia. So they're not from New Jersey, but they're coming to New Jersey. I've always said we are almost a suburb of Philadelphia. Since this episode is entitled I Come From New Jersey, what we're talking about is home and what home is, what it means to people or doesn't mean to people. All different interpretations. And that was going to be our episode anyway. And it's interesting that one of the women that was interviewed last night from Philadelphia, actually you asked her how long you've been coming to Wildwood, that she started going down memory lane. It was wonderful. You might have thought she was from here. It meant so much to her, talking about her family and her memories and where they stayed and how long they've been coming down here. So although possibly Wildwood isn't her home, in the summer, it feels like home to her. So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, and that is what home means to you, what coming home means to you, what leaving home means to you. It's really kind of a fascinating, it's a fascinating subject. That's what we're going to touch on.
Yeah, home is, the changes, challenges, and memories that home brings. And for me, we talked a little bit about in the first episode that I was coming home for the first time in a long time. I moved back to Philadelphia, or the Philadelphia area. And as a result of coming back, I was going through a lot of change. I was back in an area going through a divorce where everything felt new. You know, I had moved from New York City to Philadelphia. And then once I was in Philadelphia, it was a new type of living. It was bigger. I had a basement. I felt very proud of that. I had a little yard. I felt very proud of that as well. In New York City, the longer you live in New York City, the smaller your apartment gets. So to come to something so spacious so quickly was a great change. With those changes of coming here, there were also these challenges. Going through a divorce, I'm also a dad. You know, this was almost 4 years ago now. So I had to learn how to be a single dad. And that was a big challenge as well. My daughter lives in Brooklyn. So I go back and forth every other weekend from Philadelphia to Brooklyn. I leave on a Friday afternoon, pick her up from school, and then I usually have her back Sunday end of day or early Monday morning. So that was an additional challenge as well. So one of the things that was so appealing about Philadelphia was that you were living right down the street at the time. Your brother, my uncle, and aunt were living a couple of doors down from you. So I had some community, which I needed at that time. And what I realized once I was there is that I had all of these memories.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you're saying. Although Philadelphia, I don't know that you would say, oh, I'm going home, that Philadelphia had never really been your home. But the people that were there represented your home. Everyone from home happened to be in Philadelphia. So there we are. It's sort of like Wildwood picked itself up and moved to this little area in Fairmount, where for a brief period of time, we were all there. I happened to be the one to move, you know, from Philadelphia. So for you, home then was people. You were coming home to the people. For some people, home is a house. I miss the carpet in my room. I miss for some people, it's never the actual structure or possessions. It's where it is, that feeling that they get because they need to be near the beach. They need to be near the woods. And you've taken them out of the woods and you've put them by the beach and they're going, no, this is not home to me. So it all depends on the person. It's so different for so many people. Interesting, I was just talking to someone who, talking to them about this subject, and her response, which is really lovely, was, home to me is wherever my husband is. We could be in a tent in a parking lot, and I feel like I'm home. And I thought that was great. Can't say that I ever had that feeling about the tent or the parking lot.
Or a husband. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, that's funny. But I get that. That's the person. You know, I'm at home with this person, which is the feeling of a safe place to fall. This person is my safe place to fall. This home is my safe place to come to. This town is my, and that all depends on you and your memories and what happened when and where.
And you don't have to go home either. You make your own home.
Yeah.
Whatever that home is.
Absolutely. And I've made many homes. So, and I've enjoyed them all because I like to fix up a home.
Yeah, I've seen them all.
Oh boy, here comes that. I know where you're
they
going.
All
don't
look
go
exactly
there.
The
don't
same.
Go there.
They all, they're all different on the outside, but just like you, Mom, always the same on the inside.
Thank you, Rob. I think I'm going to take that as a compliment because I thought you were going somewhere else, which you were.
Well, they are all the same color. And you're generally a minimalist. You're highly organized. You're very neat. And that has been consistent in all the homes that you've owned.
Yeah, I just enjoy projects and fixing up homes. And then they always seem to, it wasn't the plan, but they always seem to get sold. So I guess I can have a new project. So I really have enjoyed them all. I've lived in some places, just to give you an idea. I've been in Florida for 8 years, Lauderdale, Pompano.
I'm always so impressed because I find moving to be the most stress-inducing thing in the world. So I know you've done it a couple times because you've done Florida and New Jersey and Philadelphia, and then of course here now in Cape May. Yeah, for me, the move and the packing and God, even just thinking about it right now.
Yeah, it's giving you anxiety.
I feel like I need to go for a walk.
Yeah, well, some people it is. It's very stressful. And that's, you know, it sounds crazy. But, you know, when I talk about coaching, somebody could have incredible anxiety created from that for numerous reasons. I don't want to go. How about that? I'm moving and I don't want to move. You know, so all of this anxiety that you're creating, that's also sometimes you need to speak with someone who can help you through that, who will listen to the venting, help you with where you're going, what your thoughts are. Because let's get real, if you're talking to the person closest to you and you're saying, I hate this idea, it's not going to be a great conversation.
No, I remember that feeling. I was living in London and I was working for a company. They had relocated me overseas. It was meant to be at least 3 years. And a year into it, I received a phone call from the company saying, you know, we're selling our business. And as a result, we're going to be closing your office. And I wasn't ready to come home. You know, it was such a big mental commitment for myself and my family
surprise.
At that time. Oh, such a big surprise. So all of a sudden, you're being faced with a change and a challenge. The change is things are different. You are leaving London. You're going back to New York, presumably. And then the challenge is, how do you reset after going back? Because I think you do this, I do this, where I will talk myself out of something that I'm leaving. So when I was leaving New York City, it was the worst place I've ever been. You compete for everything. Oh, I was complaining about, I compete for my place in line for a bagel. I compete for a taxi. I'm so tired of it. I just want to think about anything else but work. So you go through this whole convincing process. And then you get to this new place and then you do it all again. You convince yourself that this is the best place in the world. Oh my God, I love the weather in London. I don't know why people don't like it here. It's beautiful. Yeah, it always rains, but it's not that bad. You know, oh, the people are very warm. You know, they're kind.
Excellent.
Excellent, right? And then you have to go. And then you're like, do the same thing one more time, but outward, right? Oh, how was London? Oh, it's terrible. I never got invited to anybody's house. You know, the only time an English person invited me to their house was at my going away party.
Because you don't want people to know that your life is crap. Right? Of course. No, can you imagine, like, how's London? And then you start with...
I always thought that that's... I mean, every now and again, you know, in on social media and Instagram, you'll see somebody who does really take the filter off. And you appreciate it for a second. And then you're just like, I really don't want to see this.
It's like bringing me down.
I actually do want to see you on your vacation. It's bringing me down.
Yeah. It's funny. When we were talking about places that you've been that you made a choice, you were just surprised about having to move. That's a big difference because I'm nothing special that it wasn't tragic for me moving. I wanted to move. It was a choice. And I talk a lot about that in coaching. You have a choice. But when it's your choice, the anxiety is less. I want to go. Yeah, this is great. Let's do it again. Let's move on. Let's go here. Let's go there. Makes me sound like I'm spontaneous and which I'm not. I'm a homebody. It's crazy when you hear this.
Yeah, you are giving this audience the impression as if you are.
I know, like I'm the world traveler. Not, yeah. But I do like to fix up homes.
I think the only passport stamp you may have over the last 15 years is Wawa. Does Wawa stamp your passport?
No. I have to recover from that because it's kind of true.
For every 10th passport stamp you receive, you get a Sizzly.
No, okay.
Get a free Sizzly.
No, but I was talking about places. You were surprised. So therefore, there would be anxiety around something that you're not expecting, nor possibly not only not expecting, it wasn't a change you really wanted to make at that point. So in my case, I only had that happen once, and it was those exact reasons. I didn't want to make the move, so I made the move. It wasn't like, oh, I want to leave Wildwood Crest and move. I didn't want to do it. So it kind of starts out that way. But then you get there and you get into, I thought I was in a foreign country, only because I bought a home, went from a little house near the beach with a space heater, which I adored, to a much larger home on what they called a cul-de-sac. I didn't even know what it was, a cul-de-sac. As I think, Robert, you said to me before, we had to look it up. It was odd. I mean, it was just weird. And my kids were being bused to school, used to riding their bikes, sort of that loss of, it just wasn't anything we were used to. I really wasn't enjoying it, the house, anything. It just...
Were we enjoying it? We were pretty young, so I would have been in second grade.
You seem to roll with the punches a little more. Doug was, young, like first grade, maybe? First grade. Doug's funny. He's, when he doesn't like something, he doesn't like something. And he didn't like it. He didn't say much, but he wouldn't go out.
Yeah, we were probably too young. That's true. Yeah, he didn't go anywhere. That's why he's so good at guitar.
Yeah, right. He took that up. Absolutely.
Around that time. It's funny. I remember those years. I mean, I was very young. But what I remember really well is we moved there mid-year. So that first 5 months, when it started getting into April and May, we would walk down to the end of the cul-de-sac to get picked up by the bus. Also a very foreign concept for us in Wildwood. We rode our bikes and walked. So we get picked up on the bus and we'd be waiting at the bus stop. And 5 minutes later, we would see your car coming down the hill and you would stop and you'd say, get in.
With the towels, beach chairs, and gear.
On top of the car. So we knew what was happening.
Get in.
And then it could be a Wednesday. It could be a Friday. It might be Monday. We're going back. It didn't matter. Right. So that's when, guess I wouldn't have been able to put it together that change for you wasn't working.
No, it wasn't working. And it's funny, when friends came up from the beach and they drove up and we were going to have dinner and sort of celebrate the move, also not familiar with cul-de-sacs. And I'm sure the neighbors didn't understand this at all, but I found it hilarious. You have to kind of visualize we're not cul-de-sac people, and they have to go around this circle where there's, you know, to pull in people's driveways. My friends thought it'd be pretty funny to just keep driving around in the circle. So they just round and round.
Look, kids, Big Ben.
It was hysterical. We're looking out the window, hysterical. And I'm sure my neighbors are like, who are these people? But it was just as foreign to them. Like, we're just going to keep going around this circle. What do you do here? What do? Do we pull in somewhere?
Yeah, it's so interesting. And home has recently become so different because people have been home so often the last couple years.
COVID.
So imagine if you were in Medford when COVID hit those 2 years, you know, you would have been
good. You
would have been one of the people who came to the beach. There were a lot of people, and not just in the mid-Atlantic tri-state area. People in the Midwest, you know, went to the lake, and people in the Mountain West went to the mountains. And, you know, you had a lot of people both getting away and hunkering down. I initially hunkered down. And then when Josephine was born, my youngest, down in Memphis, I ended up leaving for a month and a half or so to be there. before coming back. The idea of home really changed for people. Talk about change, challenges. And in some ways, it was fun, right?
Absolutely. Some people flourished. And some people were so happy because they possibly were with a significant other, likes to be doing things all the time, out here, out there. Well, no, you can't. Isn't that wonderful for the one that doesn't want to go? So you didn't have to anymore.
So
say,
you flourished.
I flourished.
The car collected dust. You got on your bike. You started playing a lot of tennis.
Yeah. It depends on where you were. But to have been in Medford at that time, the first house in Medford of that area, had to do that for a while would have been not so much fun. But what do you do? You asked me that before. What do you do? I'm in a place where this isn't me. I came back to the beach and rented a bungalow and to make a decision, to think about what am I going to do? And the decision was to give it a shot. Give it a shot another way. This is not the place to be, but there are other places nearby. Okay, there are other places. I have choices. And somehow stumbled into Medford Lakes, which is right there. It's amazing. I mean, it's so close. How can you be that close and it be so different? What was in Medford Lakes that I desperately needed was water and diversity. Because a lot of times developments are, you know, if you live in a certain development, husband's pretty much, your husband's working or you're working, this is the amount of income you have, you're kind of, it's very similar. The homes are built by the same guy, you know, it's, whereas when we got into Medford Lakes and...
Yeah, and eclectic.
Eclectic and lots of water.
Very similar to where we grew up.
It was. And we spent probably, I don't know, 8 years there, and it was the right move. It was the right move. Enjoyed it a lot.
Well, we still came down to the beach quite often. And when we came to the beach, we would always visit Maury's Piers, which is located on the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey. It is a classic seaside amusement park, family owned and operated since the late 60s. So when we were getting away from the lakes, we would hit the woods and have a great time down at Maury's Piers, where we would hit Surfside Pier, featuring the Ocean Oasis Water Park and Beach Club at 25th Avenue, Mariner's Landing Pier, featuring Raging Waters Water Park at Scallinger Avenue, and Adventure Pier at Spencer Avenue. It was always a great escape. I feel very lucky that we had that. For us, it was only an hour and a half away. But even if you have to drive a little bit further, it's such a great escape and destination for people to have Maury's Piers. Yeah, I went through a lot of the same thoughts. You know, when I was most recently living in Denver, I was splitting my time between Philadelphia and Denver. And that was a place I wanted to be, at least part-time. I was excited to be there. And then once I got there, I realized I love the mountains, but I didn't like living in Denver itself. So it was funny. Maybe it's an age thing, but as I'm getting older, I was less inclined to wait it out and see how it goes.
Yeah, the meter's running.
Yeah, and it's not to say that it doesn't necessarily mean that it precipitated an immediate change. It just, you started thinking more about where you want to be, like what you want to be doing. But it also evoked a lot of feelings of fear, worry. You know, what do I do? Do I come back? How do I think about the next step, the next chapter in my life? How do I come home and talk about that with my family that, hey, by the way, you know I was going to do this thing, but now I'm coming home to do this thing. And I guess going back to your last episode, I was worried about, I guess I was bringing those level one worries home. And it took a minute to get out of those. You know, I had a lot of those level one fears and worries as I was in this place that I wasn't sure I wanted to be. So when I came back and I talked to you about it, that's obviously how this all came to be with the 12 Pound Podcast. As you think about those level one fears, how do you see the next episode going?
Well, I think it'd be interesting to talk about. That's happens to a lot of people, not just, you know, with coming home, with something that they have to do, you know, whether it's things that have been going on in their life, maybe people don't know about it. And now, you know, you built up all of these blocks, almost energy blocks and assumptions about what's going to be when you go home, or how people are going to receive certain news, or, you know, how they're going, you know, you have a interpretation, which is somewhat like an assumption, and you're not usually right. You know, it's not usually right. It's a block. It's something that you have to work through, because something happened in the past at home, you know, because something didn't work out at home in the past does not mean it's not going to work out in the future. You know, that's what an assumption is. And that stuff, those are inner energy blocks that give us all that anxiety that we don't need, and fear and worry that you're causing yourself, possibly for no reason. It's all you creating this story for someone else. You know, what's going to happen? You don't know what's going to happen. What you do know is what you can do, what kind of, what I can bring to the situation. That's what you do know. So, you know, it's a lot of times that's what a lot of coaching around Energy One is. You know, that's something that you can really work on and have some success with, you know, losing some of that anxiety for sure.
Well, I know we're going to talk more about those levels. We had a lot of questions actually that had come in after the last episode and a lot of feedback about wanting to learn more about the different levels of energy. So we are going to be putting out some short videos, the tune-ups that you had mentioned on social media and on YouTube. And we're going to go through each of those levels, level 1 through 7. What are some of the core attributes of those levels and kind of short tricks on how to get through them, what to say, how to say it. So they're going to be coming out in the next week or so. Be sure to tune into our YouTube channel, as well as continue to tune into our social media forms, which run the gamut from Instagram, Facebook.
Instagram.
It's an Instagram. We're an Insta hit.
What is an Instagram?
It's an Instagram. It's a new game on the boardwalk. Instagram. Speaking of the boardwalk and just the last time, Maury's Piers, located on the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey. Please check it out this summer. We're going to be up there on the boardwalk interviewing visitors and giving away free boardwalk passes and water park passes. So look for us in front of Mariner's Landing at Skellinger Avenue. And next week, when we do talk about, you know, some of those fears and worries that we bring home, you know, the episode's titled, Why Worry?
Why Worry?
Why Worry? Why do we worry? But we all do it. I certainly do. And I have a lot over the years. So excited to share some of those worries. And we would love to hear some of the worries that you face as well. So if you get a chance, take a look at the website again, www.12poundpodcast.com. There's a section there. Ask a question or share a story. We'd love to hear, you know, what worries you, and we can talk about those. And Mom and I, you know, we'll share our own worries as well. I'm worried about lunch. I'm worried if we'll go anywhere other than Wawa for lunch. I'm going to get through those worries.
Don't worry, Rob. Don't worry. It's all going to be okay.
But I'm scared. And I'll feel guilty if I order a foot-long hoagie.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah, it'll be okay. Well, we are so happy that you're all here with us for this third episode. We look forward to episode 4. As I mentioned before, we are on the boards. So follow us wherever you listen to podcasts, and then come look at us and watch us, I should say, on YouTube, as well as our social media accounts. We're having a lot of fun, and we're really having a lot of fun with all of you. So thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to next week. Made of dreams and old tin cans. She's no diamond, fellas, but she shines the same. With skin just like an alley book, there's no getting through to her. She loves everyone, don't matter whence they came. And if she were but not so grand, and I could set her in a ring, I would put her on your finger, and when I took your hand, I'd sing la-de-da-de-da. I'd sing la-de-da-de-da. Well, it ain't much, I know, but we can take her with us anywhere we go. With Lucy on your hand, you won't grow. There's a singer up the road.